What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. It's B. Mitch and Finley, and everybody is hot. Good morning, Brian.
What up, brother?
You're hot with these NBA picks?
Yeah, I was hot last night.
Coming out the gate hot, watching the
screaming
association. B's hitting parlays. They're trying to buy the parlays back from them, B's so red hot. The Wiz start tonight. I just looked. They're getting 13 and a half. I don't know if that's enough to get you home. You know me. I love a home dog. But that Celtics team looks quite good. Whatever. I'm excited to have the Wiz back. I'm really excited for Bub Carrington. I think he's just going to be a ton of fun to watch. And perhaps most importantly, we should check in with the boys in the aquarium, lest we be late to do so. Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Yo.
Landini? Jeffrey?
Man, Jeff's not here.
Well, he just sent the stream thing. I figured he was there.
No, that was Heavy Metal Chris. Jeff, you know, at the end of the show yesterday, we talked about some issues Jeff was dealing with.
That was a setup.
That is such a setup.
I think they're still affecting him.
He has stomach trouble from eating pizza 2 days ago?
I think he might.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Well, thoughts and prayers to Jeff.
You talk about a sucker punch.
Thoughts and prayers to Jeff. Brian and I and Lanville all ate the same pizza. So did, I think, CK had a slice. I think Denton had a slice.
What's my man?
Danny Ruhu.
Danny had some. I think
a lot of people had a slice. And it seems like everybody else was okay. Didn't Wendy have a slice?
Wendy had a slice.
And Lanville, have you been okay since we've had the pizza that shut Jeff down?
I'm always good. Okay. Jeff's just weak.
Brian, have you been okay?
I haven't had an issue.
And listen, my stomach is...
And you got the weakest stomach in the whole damn building.
For sure. And I've been completely fine. So just wanted to let that be there. But well, then, good morning, Heavy Metal Chris.
We hope you okay, Jeff.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers, bro.
Chris, my homie.
Christopher always brings the noise. Good morning to everybody on the stream. Should you want to stream with us, it's at 106.7 The Fan, YouTube.com, something like that. I'm sure.
I don't think that's it.
YouTube.com/@106.7 The Fan. There you go. I definitely did not have it correct the first time. Who was the first to say good morning? Deborah Bell gets a good morning.
Deborah, you got him today, huh? She said, I'm going to jump on him.
Yeah, man.
What's up, Deb?
Now, B. Mitch got red hot with the NBA parlays last night, but there is an important thing we need to address. Lanville, would you like to address it, or do you want me to address this just off the top here?
Nah, what? I think you should do it.
Shout out to Kennesaw State, baby.
Kennesaw State.
The whole world said it couldn't happen.
But didn't Jeff take that aside?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't remember now.
I thought he took the team to beat him by 26 or something.
Yeah, Liberty. Everybody.
No, he took Kennesaw State.
Liberty. This is why sports are so great. Not to pretend like I know anything about either of these teams, right? But Liberty was 5-0, and there was real talk about Liberty being the team that might qualify for the college football playoff.
That ain't gonna happen.
Well, there's one that they leave a slot for one non-power. How many powers are there anymore? Four or five? I don't even know how many powers.
It won't be Liberty.
But Liberty was undefeated, tracking that way, and then they lose to Kennesaw State, who was 0-6. Shout out to the Owls. The Owls were 26-point dogs. They won it outright. Yeah. And shout out to my guy, Matthew Nace.
What did Nace do?
Nace just tweeted me. He said, thanks for pointing this game out yesterday with a screenshot of his FanDuel. $2 on the money line, won him $42.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Folks are getting rich out here, and that's what we like to hear.
You start getting you start talking to guys about it, they can always give you little hints and tips.
Well, most importantly, the system is alive and well. Oh, we're back, baby.
Hey, it was Robbie.
We are back.
Robbie West. That's who got me on the –
Robbie West is on this parlay train.
Robbie got me on a parlay train.
I need to get on that. I'm fired up, man. You know,
that was Robbie's 8-game parlay.
Damn, Robbie, put me on.
Don't bet $10. Bet 100.
Seriously.
Robbie would have walked away with 22 G's, dog.
You know what's funny is you get to Thursday. In a lot of ways, it feels like the weekend's already here. You know, like, because, I mean, tonight you've got Vikings-Rams, which is a good game. That Vikings team is good. Now they've had their first loss. How are they going to rebound? I think the Rams are coming off a bye. They're supposed to get Cooper Kupp back. You've got a couple good college football games tonight. Pitt is undefeated. Syracuse coming to town.
Yeah.
I mean, when I tell you Syracuse is playing Pitt, in your brain, is that still a Big East game to you?
Yeah.
Totally, right?
But what is it?
ACC. different world. You also got...
And I think basketball, not football.
I totally. Like, if you're telling me it's a big Cuse-Pitt matchup, I 100% am thinking Jim Boeheim is coaching.
There you go.
There's also a school that you paid a lot of money to in action tonight.
Maryland?
Nope.
ODU?
Yes, sir.
I got a few of them. Maryland, ODU, VCU, LSU.
ODU is...
I paid all of them a lot of money.
ODU's at home tonight against Georgia Southern. ODU is a one-point favorite, so good luck to the Monarchs. It's just, once you get to this point, Thursday night, we get the Wiz opener. Caps don't play tonight. They just play back-to-back, right? Caps are red hot, by the way, B.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
oh, yeah.
They've won five in a row, and they're just kicking everybody's ass. It's been fun. I think the Caps are in second in the Metro, even though they've played –
five games?
Like, way fewer. I think they're at six games.
Six games now?
Hold on. Let me refresh.
I thought yesterday you said four, or last time you mentioned them.
So, in the Metro, the Caps have 10 points, one off the pace. The Rangers have played six games, have 11 points. The Devils have played nine games, have 11 points. And then the Caps, through six games, have 10 points. They're 5-1.
All right.
Dude, they've scored 26 goals in six games.
Keep going, Caps.
Yeah. And Ovi got one last night. Lanville, what's the good news surrounding the Ovechkin goal? I don't know. I don't have an answer, bro.
You didn't expect it, then. If you all have an answer, you didn't
5-1 seems like a hell of a start.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think, based off of last year, we expected it to start like that.
But they, I think, got younger
in
the offseason.
I like surprises.
Especially good ones.
Definitely.
Lanville, what's the biggest news from last night's sports results?
You get half off pizza at Papa John's with the OV50.
OV50 is the code?
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody in the DMV. Order that pizza, baby. Get half off.
Lance is in hell with the sports story. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to get to eat today.
All right. Let's get down to business, shall we?
Let's go, baby.
We've talked about this, and I think it's really unfortunate that whatever happened, and we're never going to know the true answers, but a lot of people have garnered this opinion of Marcus Mariota from the Netflix show a few years ago, and I really don't think – maybe he had a tough end of season in Atlanta on a bad year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I really think Marcus is an absolute stand-up guy. I think there's a reason Brian Johnson wanted to get him here.
If you listen to his teammates, it tells you everything you need to know. Listen, I don't buy everything. Like, all those shows, I keep telling you, they produce the hell out of those shows. And what gets people to follow?
Sure.
Controversy.
Yeah.
So, if they didn't have anything controversial, I think just showing quarterbacks just getting ready and throwing balls wouldn't have been good. You got to have a story that picks up. And when they saw any little thing that could make somebody seem different, they threw that stuff out there. And they pushes it. They push it. So.
Well, I thought there was an answer. So, Jaden didn't practice yesterday. Oh, dude, if you thought Jaden was practicing yesterday, you're from Uranus. I don't know what planet you're from.
You're from where?
Mars. Is that easier? Saturn? You prefer Saturn?
You could take that other thing into whatever you want it to be, dog.
Get your head out of the gutter,
I'm
Brian.
Just saying,
I'm talking
Jay,
planets, dude.
You said it, brother.
This coaching staff has been very good about giving guys rest. And if they're a little beat up, they definitely rest them. So we know that Jaden came out of the game last week, and we saw him in visible pain on the sideline. There wasn't a situation. This could be NFC Championship week, and he wouldn't have practiced yesterday. So for any sort of, like, pearl clutching or shock that he didn't practice yesterday, I don't know where you arrive at that conclusion.
First of all, man, listen, let me just – I was thinking about this earlier when I walked in here. If he had practiced yesterday, you know how many questions – even if he could have practiced yesterday, he wasn't practicing yesterday. Because one thing I've noticed, this team doesn't care about just, oh, any news is good news. Any attention is great attention. No, no, no. They don't buy that.
They're out of that business. They were in that business for a while.
I'm focusing on getting my team ready to play without a bunch of BS surrounding it. And that's what they did. You know what I mean? Hell, if he practices today, somebody might pop up. But guess what? The farther along it gets from the coach and anybody up to ask all them damn questions, things may go to how you want it to go. But come on, man. Let's stop. Let's stop making a story, big stories out of nothing.
What I did like yesterday was listening to Marcus Mariota, who spoke after practice. And specifically, but right now I'm just going to read it. I think a big part of why this works is just Marcus has the most kind of Hawaiian chill vibes. Like, he's just easygoing,
yeah.
Right? But another part of it is, you know, you hear the phrase, like, walk a mile in my shoes, yep. Right? Mariota has walked these exact shoes. He's a number two overall pick that won a Heisman Trophy yeah. winner and was drafted with a ton of expectations to Tennessee. And obviously it didn't break right, and it looks like it's a different trajectory for Jaden. But he understands the media pressure, the family pressure, like all of these things that, you know, Marcus is from Hawaii and went to Oregon, and Jaden's from SoCal and went to ASU and then LSU. Mm-hmm. But like,
he went from SoCal to LSU. That's a total different culture. That's culture shock.
He can understand a lot of what pressure that really doesn't seem to bother Jaden, but at least what's coming his way. And I think if you can zoom out from a fan view of, oh, my God, we need Jaden out there, we got to win every game, to a, this is my life, this is my career, try to take it all in totality. Mm-hmm. I just thought this answer from Mariota was so smart. The question was that he was asked how he can help Jaden through this experience. And he said, I think first and foremost, just being smart and understanding what's most important. I think early on in my career, you get very worked up about, I got to play this week. I got to play this week. Sometimes it's focusing on your health in the long term. So if it gets to that point and he doesn't feel like he's ready to roll, I'm here to help kind of that. And I want him to understand that and feel comfortable with that. And also, I think it's us as a quarterback room to make sure that if he's not getting the amount of reps that he usually gets through the week, helping him get those reps in the quarterback room, helping him manage so if his number is called and he is playing on Sunday, that he's ready to roll. I think it's just a collective group. It's one of those things that happens in the course of a regular season, and we just all are going to work together to make sure that whoever is playing on Sunday is successful.
See, that's the thing about when he was talking yesterday, he discussed the fact that it's not just the one quarterback that may be getting the reps that week or playing that week. It's the whole room. Because you know what? I may see some, but I may not see the thing on the side. You can help me out. And if everybody works together and they do the same, like, I go to this. I was playing golf with Denny Hamlin one day, and I asked him a question. I said, man, how do the contracts work? Because, you know, you have a team out there on the track, and they help each other out.
Sure.
He said, B. Mitch, Coach Gibbs is a genius. Let's say your contract is up this year. What me and Landfill going to do, we're going to block people to make sure you win a lot of races. Because whatever contract you get, guess who else gets it? Us. So the next time the next person's contract up, you go and you try to get more. We're going to try to get the next person more money. If everybody is successful, they don't just look. They look at that starting quarterback. They'll look at the offense coordinator. They're going to look at who else was in this room with these people. You know, it all works hand in hand. So I think that what he said about it's about the whole room helping each other out, I buy that 100%.
I do too. And I don't know. You don't want to read into too much. But when you hear Mariota say, I don't know, I'm going to read this again. I think it's us as a quarterback room to make sure that if he's not getting the amount of reps that he usually gets through the week, helping him get those reps in the quarterback room, helping him manage so that if his number is called and he is playing on Sunday, that he's ready to roll.
Yeah.
I think yesterday, Jaden not practicing in no way means he's not – in no way shuts the door on him playing Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think.
But we know he's going to go out there anyway and study beyond to make sure he knows what's going on. You know, when I heard him talk about the reason that he did all of this stuff with the virtual reality thing, it made more sense to me. Instead of having to go through everything and the wear and tear gets on your body, you don't have to go through it. But you get everything at a higher clip mentally.
I think, I don't know, it is 10:18 a.m. starts Sunday at 4:25.
I don't know. I'm at that point right now where...
How many people are texting you about it? Everyone you know?
Everywhere I go, I'm talking to somebody or whatever, but... I saw the thing. I told you about this yesterday when I got here yesterday. I sent the clip to you on Tuesday, and I said, you know what? This is the tough dude. But the more I think, I was thinking, oh, he's going to be there, no problem at all. But then when you start hearing stuff a little bit, and you understand the importance of just like everybody that wants us to go all in for the trade deadline, also just change everything you had planned and just go something new because something is working well. I think that everybody else thinks that way. But then again, I'm at a point where they may say, you know, to hell with that. We care about 10, 15 years, not one game. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of like at a toss-up now.
I am too. I think we have to understand that if they play him, it's because rest doesn't make it better. If he's in a situation where rest is the difference, then okay, rest him. But if they play, I think it's because it's the type of injury that playing or not doesn't impact it. Now, could that become complicated if he strains it or bruises the impacted area more? Yeah, and that's the risk.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, dude, not to cross-populate here, but last night was it the whole NBA opener? I guess Tuesday was the NBA opener, and then last night was like a ton of teams opened, right? Last night was the Sixers opener. I know that.
And they did not play their two stars. Well, two of their stars.
And honestly, the Sixers lost 124-109 in their home opener. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way the Sixers operate.
Well, the league is already – this is the first game of the season they're already being investigated by the NBA.
Well, right, and Joel Embiid has declared that he's never going to play a back-to-back again. Paul George, apparently all the testing came back with nothing wrong, but he just needs some time. Like, well, I use that as a point to say, I don't think ownership's going to push Jaden to play this week.
Yeah, and that because that is the team that's owned by him.
Right.
So, but the ultimate thing, and this was Kendrick Perkins last night, say, he had no problem playing in the Olympics. And now all of a sudden, where the people that really pay you pops up, and you say, oh, I'm not good right now. Please.
Please.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right. You hear the song. Means we're going to talk to Peter Rosenberg here in just a moment. Appreciate Peter moving stuff around so that we can talk to him in the morning. A little traffic report for the show today. 11:45. I got to check. I can't remember if it's Joe Witt or Cliff Kingsbury speaking first. B and I are out here in Ashburn. You will hear from both coordinators today. Joe Witt, of course, the defensive coordinator. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator. And then later in the program, Clay Harbor's going to join us at 1 o'clock. And then I'm really excited, Peanut Tillman, Charles Peanut Tillman, going to join us at 1:45 to close out the show. obviously, you know, Peanut rose to significant prominence in his time playing for the Bears. But he's also a raging Cajun, I've been informed.
Yes, yes, man. You know, we got a little crew down there that's been at the next level.
For sure. And it's pretty
Brandon
cool.
Brandon Stokely, you remember that name?
Yeah. Well, wasn't his dad your coach?
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl in Detroit and Denver and also Baltimore.
Yeah? Was he not on the Colts when they won?
I don't think he was on the Colts. Yeah, he was on the Colts. I think it was the Colts in Baltimore. Yeah, Denver.
I'm pulling it up.
Colts in Denver, I think it was.
But for Peanut, like, three-time Super Bowl champ.
He won with the Ravens, the Colts, and the Broncos.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. I think what is really cool for Peanut, though, is, like, he has a move named after him. The punch.
Yeah, Peanut punch.
That's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
When you get a move named after you. Certainly, if there are any moves named after me, you can't talk about them on the radio. Maybe my extreme ability to leave any bar, restaurant, party without telling anybody, but they call that the Irish exit. I'm pretty good at it, though. Although, where'd you bust me? In Tampa?
Oh, yeah, I caught you.
I was leaving.
I know.
I'd had enough. We are going to go to power rankings today. We didn't get to do that yesterday. We go through our power rankings every week. I got asked a question last night. I had my show on NBC4, and it was Resch that asked the question. It was a good question. You can't say a guy that's been a head coach before, because they've got a few of them on this staff. Who on this coaching staff do you project to be a head coach? Who do you think has that in them?
On this coaching staff here? Probably Jason Simmons. He always really was, but he will be again. Cliff Kingsbury.
Anthony Lynn and Kingsbury don't count.
They don't count.
Okay. But I do think they both
will.
I'll go with the
tight end coach name again.
Rye.
Yeah. Oh, David, talking to him, you basically talking to an encyclopedia. Who else? I think Tavita, if he wants to. Tavita seems to be so low-key that he just want to sit in the background. But I think he has – I've had some conversations with him. He has great knowledge.
Dude, I thought the way they all talk about David Blau, I feel like he's on a fast track to at least be an OC. I also think the way Joe Witt commands a room.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to have some defensive success here, and I think it might be 3-4 years out. But the way Joe Witt has command and presence will translate to an interview room. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But the thing, like, people like Joe, sometimes they have to be coerced into taking less of a role.
Yeah.
Because, like, if he become a coach, he may have to hire a defense coordinator and back up a little
bit.
I'm not sure he wants to do something like that.
Like, you see DQ do that now.
Yeah, I'm not sure he wants to do something like that. Because that dude like to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, but Jason Simmons, I like him.
Okay. Right now, Peter Rosenberg joins us. Peter, what's going on, man? Thank you for making time. I know we're moving you around a little bit.
It's all good. What up? What up?
What's up, brother?
How you feeling without knowing who the starting quarterback is going to be Sunday?
I don't feel that way. I do know who the starting quarterback is going to be. It's Marcus Mariota. So
you think so?
I do. I do. I think that's the right move. I do. I can't really think of a world in which you tell me it's a bruised ribs. You're telling me week to week, not day to day. The first words we heard, I think that you texted me when I hit you up, JP, was week to week. And if the kid is week to week, do you want to rush him back for the Bears defense? I think this year is not about what I think should make this team different is about making all the right decisions, right? And we're sitting at 5-2. I believe they'd actually have a pretty good fighting chance with Mariota. I don't see why out of division game you bring the kid back if there's any chance it's too soon. And to me, it just feels like based on what we've seen. And, guys, the Vegas number has been telling me all week he's not going to play. That's what Vegas has been telling us. So I lean towards Mariota is playing, and I think that would probably be the right decision.
But I think what it is, though, Peter, this is a situation where, and I agree with you in that they would make the right decisions, but this is a pain threshold thing. And some dudes are different. And I sent JP a clip from him in college where dude had cracked rib, dude went and played and balled the hell out. If he went out there with a cracked rib and played, he could handle pain. So is that the only
because you know certainly more than I do about injuries like this. Is that the only concern? It's simply just pain threshold, no worry of furthering injury?
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if they're talking to – if the doctor said you can injure yourself more. If he can injure himself more, he's not going to play. They're not going to let him play. Because I believe in like what John Thompson always said, you got to protect certain players from themselves, you know. And I think he's the type of guy, just like Allen Iverson, if he thinks he can go, he wants to go. But you got to hold that guy back. But the ultimate thing is, if they're saying you can't be hurt anymore, where it's just a thing where, you know, you got to let the pain subside, I will see him on the field.
Yeah, and I would probably change my take in that sense too, and I wouldn't worry about it in the same way. If it's a pain threshold thing, well, and listen, and also the only other piece about the pain threshold is with the ribs in particular. If that pain prevents you from throwing the ball properly, that can also be a secondary thing where maybe JP you can get through the pain, but it's making you pull up a little bit on big throws, and that could be a problem too.
Well, dude, that's why I think DQ has been so – the one – Quinn has been pretty squirrely about any real details, right? And frankly, I understand that. But the one thing he's been pretty clear about is I got to see Jaden be Jaden before I even consider anything. Mm-hmm. And if you have a guy like Daniels – because let's be real, he is skinny. Like, he's not – if you have a guy like Daniels and all of a sudden – he's a pocket passer without his mobility and without the electric, accurate arm that can hit you from multiple arm angles, you're setting him up for failure, right? Like, one, you're not letting him have his full skill set, and two, then he might get rocked in the pocket even more so. So I think that's why – I don't know that he'll actually practice, right? But, like, I won't be shocked if – he's out there in some capacity today because, Dan, listen, the coordinators talked to us before practice, and then DQ doesn't talk to us again until tomorrow after practice. So they give themselves quite a window of not having to answer any questions about it. And they let him test it. I don't think he needs to practice to play, but I think they want to see him run, throw a little bit, and then have a day afterwards to see how he feels.
Well, there's two things you have to protect him from. You have to protect him from further injury, and I do think you also want to protect him, as you were just sort of alluding to, from a really bad game. Like, there's no point at this stage of his career where everything is going so well. I don't want to just have a game, even if he doesn't get injured, where he gets knocked around, he throws interceptions, he's not himself. Wouldn't you be better off just having a fully healthy – by the way, if Mariota had played like garbage last week, we are having a different conversation. But Mariota, who we all know who he is, and the fact is, I've been really praising him quite a bit. I've been reminding people up here in New York, and granted, the Jets have one in Tyrod Taylor, but man, last year they did not. The benefits of having at least a professional quarterback, Marcus Mariota is a professional. He obviously works well in the Kingsbury system. Mm-hmm. So, guys, I would go into the game with Mariota believing that we could win the game. I wouldn't be sitting there watching going, oh, we got no chance. Listen, the Bears' defense is great, guys. The one knock on the Commanders is we've beaten some tomato cans. That's the same knock on the Bears.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So why not? You're telling me there's no chance? I don't think we're going to get torn apart by Chicago. So I'm kind of feeling good either way. I'm really grateful that the Daniels injury – was it worse? I'd say the only real negative I've been left with over the last couple of days was having to accept the fact that even though the injury was fortunately not that bad, we do have to accept that, like, the probably the biggest fear in the mind of all of our heads is that will this kid get hurt? And in week 7, he did. And we have to hope that it was just kind of a random freakish thing and not going to be something that starts happening regularly. It certainly felt like from the kind of play that it was random and freakish. But I do think we also have to own the fact that he got hurt week 7. Let's see how this thing goes.
I think what Baldy said yesterday, If you look at every year, rarely any quarterback plays 17 straight games. They all miss something. So that's why it doesn't faze me that much, because this game of football, we can sit up here and hope all we want. No one is going to play every game and probably not get. If we go look through the history of the NFL, you may get an offensive lineman that might have played every play, and that's amazing in itself. I don't think every quarterback ever played every play.
No.
Yeah, I mean, last year, a guy like Stroud, I think, played 15.
I missed one game in 14 years, and I played the worst position you could possibly play not to get hurt.
Right. Stroud last year played 15 out of 17. I think, Peter, you're right that the only concern I thought was real about Jaden coming out of the draft, I thought a lot of the, like, can he throw to the middle of the field and the sack, the pressure to sack stuff, I thought a lot of that was conjured up nonsense. But he's got a thin frame, and these are pro football players, right? And I think until we start to see, like, to me, I think you just got to give it more time, right? Like, all right, man, if in three seasons he's averaging about 13 games a season, then, yeah, that may be an issue. But I think if this ends up being he misses a game, comes back, and is balling for another 2 months, and then maybe has to miss one more, I think that's fairly standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, no, listen, of course.
Like a guy like Matt Stafford gets beat up. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, I mean, to be Mitch's point, I'm always looking up people's stats. I'll say, whenever I'm doing my show, I'm always looking up. You never, never see quarterbacks who just play 17 games a year. Like, it really does not happen. So, absolutely, it's completely normal. It's just like, okay, at some point we're going to have to check the box that he's hurt, and we did have to check that box. You know what I'm saying? It happened.
Yeah, for sure.
And now, if there's another one, we go, ah, damn it, that's number two. So, like, that's all. But, like, no, it certainly doesn't. I'm not freaked. I didn't freak out in the moment. I was kind of like, you could tell by the play it wasn't good. You could also tell it likely wasn't anything terrible. And then, again, you just got to give kudos to Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler and Marcus Mariota and Terry and the protection, too. I mean, they kept the thing moving, man. Like, here's the bottom line. We have beaten up tomato cans badly. I got news for you guys. Really good teams beat up tomato cans.
There you go.
Other tomato cans play neck and neck with tomato cans. You know how I know that? Because we've always been a tomato can.
Right.
But when you're a good team, when you're like a real deal team, you throttle those teams. And we are, I mean, me and my co-host Don LaGreca, we both picked the Commanders last week. We were like, yo, is Vegas broken? What are you doing? 9.5 points, they're going to win by 30. And that's exactly what they did. And you can't stop being impressed by that's what this team is right now.
Absolutely. You fired up for Wizards Celtics tonight?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little more focused on 425 Sunday. Listen, man, shout out to the Wizards. Shout out to everybody who has to get in the way of the Celtics. I feel very good. I feel very good about this Celtics team, man. They're going to be
Celtics
really,
are laying
really good.
Two touchdowns tonight. Game one, Wizards home Wizards opener, and the Celtics are laying two touchdowns.
That is a huge number.
That's a lot of points, man.
Yeah.
And you know, all I want to do is bet the Wiz in that situation. You get two touchdowns in your opener. But all the money and the numbers I like to look at say to take the Celtics, which is nuts. It's crazy. Thank you for making time for us, brother.
All right, guys. Let's get another one. Have a good weekend.
All right, bro.
Give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio. Fired up for 425 Sunday. Bears, Commanders. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch Finley. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7, the Fan. I got a fun exercise for us, boys.
Let's do it.
I just heard from the Gov.
Okay.
And I always let him know what games we're going to pick, right?
Yeah.
I give him the five games we're picking. Let's pick the five games for the Gov, who's absolutely red hot, together.
Okay.
We always do the Ravens. We always do the Commanders.
Yep,
so
we got those two.
So Commanders, Bears, and the Ravens are playing the Browns, which I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tempted to take the Browns in our weekend parlay, and I feel like you guys are just going to veto me.
I will kill you.
The Browns are +9.
That the Ravens going to beat them by 100.
Well, then why isn't the number 50?
Because they can't. They will never put it like
that.
It
should be 25.
No, it's all. They have you ever seen a 25-point spread in the NFL?
That's what I'm saying.
No, have you ever seen one in the NFL? And there were teams that were worse than the Browns.
I think the biggest spread. Like, I think the biggest spread ever was when Peyton's first year in Denver, when they were cooking, and the Jags were like 0-10, and I think the line was like 17.
And will never make a 25-point.
Lanville, are you going to veto me if I turn in the Browns plus 9 for the weekend parlay?
No, but we have thought of a new punishment for somebody who misses on the weekend parlay.
Swallow half a bottle of that.
I'm out.
Habanero.
I do not agree. I do not agree to those terms.
Well, we have to go. We have to do a democratic process. We can all.
No, there's no such thing as a democratic process when it comes to forcing someone to drink hot sauce.
Hey, if you sit up here and go with a stupid bet, then we're gonna get you.
This is a good one. Bengals Eagles.
Yes,
that's a good game. Falcons Bucks could be a good game. Bills Seahawks could be a good game.
I think Bills Seahawks be a great game because that's two teams. The Seahawks aren't bad, and the Bills have been playing a lot better. Listen, man, even I have given my man Allen.
He's not
some
turning
credit.
It over. Yeah. All right, let's do. All right, so now we got Ravens Browns, Bills.
Where's
Seahawks,
that game at?
Ravens Browns is in Cleveland.
Okay.
Ravens Browns, Bills Seahawks, Bengals Eagles. I mean, we could try to. Commanders, Bears. So we only need one more, right?
Cowboys,
Bears,
Niners.
Commanders.
Cowboys, Niners is a good game.
Yeah, because we always want to see Dallas lose.
Yeah. All right. So you got all five of them, B?
Where is that game in Dallas?
In San Fran.
Oh, yes, definitely Dallas.
Dallas is desperate, too. And San Fran, they're saying they're not going to have McCaffrey back till after the bye week. So it's another 2 weeks. I mean, it's this game. But San Fran should win that, get back to 500. Dude, just looking at that game, that's a little bit of a loser-leaves-town situation. Both those teams are a surprising – Cowboys are 3-3 coming off their bye. Niners are 3-4 coming off a loss in Kansas City. I mean, if San Fran loses at home in that thing, they're 3-5 going to their bye. And if Dallas loses, they're 3-3, or 3-4, rather. I mean, under 500 at the halfway point is a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah.
That should be fun.
Yes.
Here's what we're going to do next. We're just going to let the people talk because the show is packed, and I'm not sure how many times we're going to get to the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Where are you at on the quarterback situation? Do you think they should play Jaden? Do you think Jaden needs to chill? Are you confident Washington can win with Marcus Mariota? Your turn next on The Fan.